Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hello and welcome. This is the premiere of Wiseman, and my name's Maureen Wise, and I'm so absolutely rapt to be here today. I'm a women's leadership coach, a speaker, a teacher, a mentor, and yes, I'm also a wise woman. And I'm excited to be able to present to you some absolutely amazing guests. Wise Women gives a voice to those women who are making a difference, who are leaders in their community and who are inspiring other women to do the same. So you can see why I'm so excited about this. Each fortnight, I'll be interviewing women who are making a difference in their world, who are leaders in their community and are living a life of purpose. I'll be asking them to share their stories, how they are making a difference, what their life purpose is and what inspires them. I'll also be asking them for tips and advice that you can take away and use in your life, your relationships and your business. I'll also be sharing my own tips and strategies for helping you to find out your purpose and become the leader that you know you are. Our guest today is a woman who curiously goes by an alter ego to spread her valuable message. She's from Brisbane, Australia, and her name is Jamie Russ. Now, Jamie's a qualified positive psychology practitioner and is passionate about making a difference in the world. But firstly, before we go to Jamie, a regular feature that we're going to have is that I'm going to share a coaching tip or a leadership tip. Now, my tip for today is around fear, overcoming fear. Many of us think that they have to wait for fear to disappear, for courage and confidence to show up before they actually take action on a goal or dream. This thinking keeps them small and stuck and unable to get results that they're after. The solution is a lady who I read a book years ago called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And that's what, for me, was my solution. When I felt that fear and did it anyway, and I stepped up, I embraced my fear. That's what really worked for me. But different people have different ways of doing it. Tony Robbins tells people to take massive action. Tony Robbins says, what we need to do is to just jump in. And that action actually cures the fear. Yeah, that's great. And that worked really well for a lot of people. For some people, yeah, it's just maybe a little bit more daunting. What I find for some people is taking small steps. Just take a little baby step. One little step. Then take another step. You develop reference points for success. Build your confidence. Neuro pathways are formed. And that's one other way that you can get over your fear. So when we talk to Jamie today, maybe we'll find out what her strategy is for getting over fear. So welcome, Jamie. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm fantastic today. I'm very excited. My first show. And I'm looking forward to really finding out more about where you're at.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on my first American radio segment. This is awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm sure people in America are enjoying our Australian accents.
I bet they are. Crikey, mate.
Yeah. So, Jamie, first of all, maybe tell us a little bit about this alter ego that you have. Called the Happiness Ninja. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, I literally dress in a ninja costume with a mask and everything, and I go around on the streets and conduct random acts of kindness. There's a biological reason why I do that, and it's all about boosting the happy chemicals in the brain.
Wow. So what are these happy chemicals?
The two main ones for a random act of kindness is oxytocin and dopamine.
Right.
Not to be confused with Oxycontin, the narcotic drug.
Oh, right, yeah, we don't want to do that one then.
No, don't confuse the two.
So with the Happiness Ninja, what brought about this new ego, this alter ego, this persona that's created?
Well, I actually suffered from long-term depression and anxiety myself. And I loved what you were saying at the beginning about just taking little baby steps, starting the process of a new neural pathway, because that's exactly what I did. I had a lot of things that caused the depression from a very young age, but as I overcame every single hurdle and dealt with each trauma and adversity, I got to a point when really there was no reason for me to be so unhappy and so anxious still, because I'd overcome everything. And really, when I looked into it and discovered positive psychology and changed my life around, I realized it was because my brain was so used to functioning that way that it just happened that way automatically. And I had to go about those little baby steps to change the way that my brain actually functioned.
Wow, that sounds really powerful, like a great strategy.
Well, it certainly worked for me, that's for sure.
Oh, that's great. That's good. So tell us a little bit more about the face behind the mask. What is it that drives you, Jamie?
Well, I mean, really, I drive myself. My motivation comes from, I just have a deep passion. I want to show people that they can overcome their own pain and that they're not stuck. I thought that I was stuck because everything I did didn't work. And it took me learning that, well, how do you overcome 17 years of the way your brains function? You can't just expect to overcome that. You actually have to go through a systematic process to change the way your brain functions. And when I learned that, it all sort of just clicked into place. And I just want to show other people that they can, it's about self-awareness. It's about letting go of what you feel is safe and comfortable and how you're used to functioning and all of those self-defeating traits and limiting beliefs and stepping up into your own power and just learning how to overcome what it is that you're wanting to overcome in the right way.
Well, that is such an important message these days. There are so many people out there who are really stuck, who are trapped in their own limiting beliefs, and your message is so powerful. So I just want to let our guests today know that if they want to call in, they can use the number 646-716-7979 and maybe ask Jamie a question or two about how she's moving, helping people to move forward with depression, with all these mental disorders that are holding them back and keeping them sad and miserable and depressed. So Jamie, one question I'd like to ask you is, why does this matter?
Well, it matters because mental health problems are dramatically on the rise. And if we keep going the way we're going to be one really, really unhappy world. And the faster pace that life gets, the more this problem becomes worse and worse, because we weren't designed as human beings to run at such a fast pace. With so many multitasking things, we can't handle it. And I don't mean that in a like, oh, I'm tough and I can handle anything way. I mean, that's just biologically, we are not supposed to function at such a fast pace. And this is half of the reason why we have so many problems with mental health challenges that we do today.
Yeah. And it's just so powerful these days, isn't it, that one? So you're using this through positive psychology, and when I read your descriptor, your bio, it tells me that you are the world's first the 47th person in the entire world to have completed a qualification of a Diploma of Positive Psychology and Wellbeing. So I wonder if you can tell us a bit about what is positive psychology and how does it help our listeners and maybe how it differs from ordinary psychology.
Sure. Well, to start with, I became the Diploma of Positive Psychology and Wellbeing that I completed, it is the only one in the world. It's the only accredited, government-accredited qualification of its kind. There are other different certificates and things like that, but majority of people who study positive psychology have studied it through university and they've gone on to do masters in positive psychology. So it was through a bachelor's in normal psychology that I discovered positive psychology, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. I was studying psychology because I had a great interest in human development and the way the brain worked, and I was trying to understand myself and my family better. And when I did the psychology of well-being unit and was introduced to the theory behind positive psychology, it just blew my mind. Like, I had all these light bulb moments going off. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And I need to learn more about this because this is going to be my shot at changing my life. I was in a really, really incredibly dark place at the time after leaving a narcissistic abusive relationship. And this was like, it seemed to be the answer that I had been looking for my whole life. And so I went on to finish that diploma. It took me 12 months. Basically, a lady had, I guess, had this a concept similar to mine where she had learnt positive psychology at university and wanted to share it with the world. So she's an Australian lady in Sydney. Her name is Sue Langley. She's quite popular around the positive psychology circuit. And so she's created this accredited diploma and enabled other people that, you know, haven't gone to university or haven't studied a psychology degree to be able to find out this information and do this course. So I decided to do the course. And the way it differs from normal psychology is basically a traditional, and if you go back to pre-war, psychology and as a whole wasn't just focusing on mental health problems, but the wars kind of flipped the switch a little bit, I guess you could say. And so the focus was on the dark side of the brain and overcoming mental conditions, which ultimately, you know, came as a result of the wars. And I guess as time went on, psychology just became this thing where it was getting people from, say, a minus 10 up to a zero where they're functioning normally again. But just because they're functioning as a, you know, what we call normal, doesn't mean that they're actually happy or without disorder. So it's about taking it up that next step. So positive psychology is, say we have gotten you from a minus 10 and you're at a zero and you're functioning, but you may not necessarily be happy. You may still have a mental health problem, but you're just, you know, dealing with it as best you can. Positive psychology is about taking you from that base point and being the best version that you can and working towards getting you to a plus 10, so that you are actually, you know, legitimately happy, not just functioning. Does that make sense?
That makes absolutely perfect sense. I'm really glad that you clarified that for me and for our listeners, because psychology, as you say, has been around for a long time and wasn't just about mental health until, like you say, the war. And I love the distinction that you made looking at this sliding scale from taking us from a minus 10, which I would imagine would be depressed and whatever, through to a zero, which would be, as you say, just functioning, right through to a plus 10. which means that you're actually engaging in life. You're becoming so much more vibrant. You're contributing as well, I would imagine, in that state, and really moving beyond just having what life dishes out to us and being in this neutral state to living life, a life of joy and happiness from, that comes from within, not just from external circumstances. Would that
exactly
stand about where it is?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, most people are walking around somewhere around that baseline of neutral at zero. You know, they might be, they might fluctuate. The typical person will fluctuate probably between, you know, maybe minus three when they're feeling a bit blue one day, up to maybe a plus three when they're having an awesome day and they've just got a raise or something like that and they're feeling euphoric and really like, you know, oh, I'm doing great things. I just got this promotion. But for the most part, people aren't stepping into your into their power, which is what this this segment and this channel is all about. It's about stepping into your power and starting, you know, functioning at plus seven, plus eight, plus nine, getting up to those higher levels of functioning. And I think the key word that you said was being engaged in life, because most people are walking around like zombies on autopilot. And it's so detrimental to not only individuals, but communities and society and the world at large.
And that fits in perfectly with what we were talking before about fear, about living a life of fear, where we do tend to say no to opportunities and live a life of, like you say, on autopilot, where when we do say yes to ourselves and we step up. I love that sliding scale. I think it's a great way to measure. As I say, if you measure anything, you can improve it. And so when you move into this place, you can take up opportunities. Your life just changes because you move beyond that fear. So I think, yeah, the message that you're giving out resonates so well with me. And with the wise women that I interview, they are people who've already stepped out of that fear. They're the people who are engaged as well. They would probably be on a plus 10. So I love that sliding scale. I'm going to take that one and keep that for myself as well.
Share that too. No problem.
Fantastic. So
I think that... Sorry.
No, that's fine. You go on.
I wanted to just say to the listeners that it's not that the fear goes away completely. That's where a lot of people they go, oh well, I feel fearful and there's nothing that I can do about it. And they go, and they, like, I've had people say to me, oh, I couldn't do what you do. And it's, and I sometimes want to shake them and say, well, actually no, you can, because I started off exactly where you were. I just chose to ignore the fear. I chose to feel it and embrace it rather than try and run from it and just do it anyway. And it's not that the fear goes away completely. It just dulls, and it's still hanging in the back of your mind, but it's just not this overpowering, raging thing anymore, because I took the little steps, like you said in the beginning, one step at a time. You know, I did something that caused great fear at the beginning, and I did it anyway, and then so that became less fearful the more that I did it. So then I was able to do the higher things that again made me even more fearful until that dulled again. So it, like, at one stage, just standing up to introduce myself to a crowd of people would give me almost an overpowering fear, but I would stick to it, and I did it, and I fumbled my way through it, and I shook my way through it, like my hands would shake, but I just did it as best as I could. And after, you know, maybe the fifth time of doing that, I wasn't shaking anymore, and I was more confident in what I was saying. I had practiced it, and so now, you know, I can get up and speak to a large room of people for, you know, 30 plus minutes, and it doesn't even trigger the same fear as what 2 minutes back then did. So I just wanted to, so that I think that's what people need to know to empower themselves.
And that's just brilliant strategy, and I can see how it is working for you. I've seen you do your speaking, and yeah, very powerful. Now we've got a speaker caller on the line, so
oh, awesome!
I'm going to ask 848. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, this is Rupa.
Hello, have I got one caller here? 848248. Have you got a question for Jamie?
Hey, Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad that I could catch hold of you on live on this broadcast. Thank you so much for sending information on the on your page.
No problem.
So I don't have any questions, Jamie. This is Rupak, but just glad to listen in.
I was just about to say, I think that's my friend Rupak. He's calling. We have to ask a question now. You're live on the air, Rupak. You have to ask a question.
I have just one question that how when I can become the certified positive psychology coach. All kind of certificate. That is the only thing I would like to get the guidance into. Otherwise, I'm very happy. I've been following you, as you know, and you are doing amazing and great job, and wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you. So what was your question? How can you become a qualified positive psychology practitioner?
Correct.
So I know that Sue Langley is working on pushing her qualification out internationally. It's just they have to get the numbers. You could come to Australia and you can do the face-to-face part for 6 days. I think they also have it in England as well. So I can send you those details after this, and you can actually contact them direct and find out where in the world they'll be and what days, because they do plan it in advance. So it's a 12-month qualification, but 6 days was face-to-face, and then the rest you do online and completing the bookwork that you take away and through like webinars online.
I think that's excellent. I'm very glad to know that, and surely would be more than happy to receive that information, and I can reach out to them and we'll figure out some possibility of what and how I can possibly get it and be on the same boat and do the nice good work as you are on.
It's a fantastic qualification. Part of what I want to do is actually recreate it in an even more simpler way, so that people who, you know, don't necessarily have the money to complete or the time or even the academic ability to complete a diploma, because I did have to do, you know, I think 7 1,000 word essays, you know, at the end of each module. So that's really the direction that I'm trying to take it in, so that it's becoming even more mainstream, so that the everyday Joe blog and the people that need this help the most can access this information at a really, really low price and in
Great.
Really, really simple terms. That's what I'm working on at the moment.
Very nice. Glad to know that.
Thank you so much for calling in, Rupak.
Welcome. You're most welcome.
Thank you,
and
Rupak.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rupak, for calling in. That's great. Awesome questions. Thanks, Jamie.
My pleasure.
Okay. So, Jamie, tell me a bit more about these random acts of kindness that you do.
Okay. So first I guess I should define what random means, because some people think that it's something that it isn't. So a random act of kindness is actually one that is done with no prior screening, I guess you could say. So I don't sit there and watch the people walk by and think subconsciously to myself, does this person deserve this? Or do they look like they're in need? It bypasses that stereotypical process that, you know, we do on a day-to-day basis unconsciously without being aware that we're doing it. It's just our programming and there's a psychological term called a schema that comes into play. And that's our filtering system that we can make sense of the world. But it's a random act of kindness is getting rid of all of that. And literally, I put myself in a situation where I can't do that. So it'll be the first person that comes along. Like I'll pick a spot on the street and it'll just be anyone that comes by. It doesn't matter if they are black, white, Asian, Indian. It doesn't matter if they're dressed nice. It doesn't matter if they're homeless. It doesn't matter if they're young, old, if they're a professional, if they're blue collar, white collar. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if I think that they have a lot of money and why should they deserve getting a gift for free when they can go and buy whatever they want. None of that comes into the equation. It's completely 100% random. So I'll literally stand on a street and I will hand out a variety of things. I've done little lollies. I've done hugs. I'll just randomly hug anyone who wants to hug me. I've put things in people's letterboxes. I'll just like literally go for a walk and just drop a gift in a house in a letterbox. I've done at a laundromat. I put for Valentine's Day, I just put some flowers in a random laundromat. So it's just really, really random, whatever I can think of at the time.
That's fantastic. And we all know how much we love surprises and we love little gifts. And that gives us so much happiness and joy. I can see how these random acts of kindness actually just do spread the message of just being happy in life for the simple pleasures, not necessarily having to have big, huge things. And those little random acts, they come from nowhere for people and they surprise us and lighten up our day and brighten us up. That's fantastic. And where did you come up with that strategy?
I actually learned it in the diploma that I did. It was part of our course. I won't go into too much detail because if anyone does that qualification, I don't want to ruin the experience for them. But ultimately, that's where I was first introduced to it. And I was actually, I don't know why, maybe it was the studies that I'd done previously, but I seem to be the only one that really grasped that randomness from the beginning. Everyone else in the class went through that screening process, but I was the only one who, I literally walked down a street. I saw a gentleman sitting alone at a table. He was wearing a suit and he was drinking a beer, and I went up to the waiter and I said, oh, when that gentleman orders another beer or goes to pay for that one, here's the money for it. And I walked off. So he would have got a lovely little surprise when he went to either order another beer or pay for the one that he just had.
Oh, that's fantastic and very creative as well, I might add.
Thanks.
So we're talking to Jamie Rose, aka the Happiness Ninja. And Jamie's telling us all about positive psychology, about how she goes about making people feel happy through her random acts of kindness. And if you would like to, if you're in America and you'd like to talk to Jamie, if you call us in on 646-716-7979, and if you're outside of America, you can actually message me on Facebook on Maureen, Maureen, dot wise, W-I-S-E, dot 1-4. And we'd love to find out what your thoughts are, what questions you might have for Jamie, and even maybe share some of your own experiences. So, Jamie, let's have a look now and find out who your role models are. So, do you have a role model?
Well, this will sound a little bit cliche, but Oprah is, I'm a big fan of her. I think she is so fantastic. She's the epitome of everything that positive psychology stands for. She came from, first of all, she's not only a female, but a black female from a not very good part of the States. And she, on top of that, she's then overcome massive adversities. You know, she had a baby that I think it was stillborn. She's been gang raped. She's had a wealth of problems, and she's overcome them to become the most powerful woman in the world. And she just does so much for other people. And she, I just look up to her so much because I just think that she has, she's everything that I want to show people that they can be as well.
Wow. She's certainly a brilliant role model and someone who I think a lot of us can relate to as well because of her past and her history and where she's come from. And the fact that she herself does her own version of random acts of kindness too, doesn't she?
Maybe
on a larger, grander scale.
On a much larger scale, but hopefully one day I'll be able to do that too.
Oh, that would be a wonderful aspiration.
I have so many big random acts of kindness in the back of my head that I would love to do.
We won't ask you to share them yet because we want to go as a surprise.
Exactly.
So do you have any tips or advice or anything to do with positive psychology, to do with happiness, to do with random acts of kindness, anything that you'd like to share with our audience that maybe they could then themselves step up and do something to make a bit of a difference, to overcome their fear or their depression, or just to move themselves up that sliding scale wherever they are? What's some tips that you might like to share with them?
So I've got a few. The number one, I touched on it before. So getting out of your comfort zone is so important. So everything that we do, say, and feel, it comes from a place of what we're used to, what we're comfortable with. We don't talk about things that we don't understand because we, you know, most people will feel stupid trying to talk about something they know nothing about. So we talk about what we're comfortable talking about. We do what we're comfortable doing. And that ultimately keeps us stuck exactly where we are. We can't grow as a person if we're not getting outside of our comfort zone. Now, that can come in the form of learning something new, because when we learn something new, then we're motivated to talk about that thing, which will open up maybe a different type of person that you wouldn't normally engage with. So really, like, getting out of that comfort zone, yeah, the idea is to get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. And it relates back to that, what we talked about before, feel the fear and do it anyway, because it's never going to be as bad as what you make out in your head. You just do it. Just get out there and know that you're going to feel uncomfortable and be okay with that and just do it anyway.
And that's brilliant. I love that. Be comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. I remember someone told me that once, to make my comfort zone my uncomfort zone and my uncomfort zone my comfort zone. And just with that
exactly. Switching
thinking, yeah, it can take us a lot of places. Now, what about for someone who might be right down on that sliding scale? Maybe they're at a minus 10. And mm-hmm. You know yourself, you've been into that place, but you described it as a black hole. What happens if someone's in that place and they can't even imagine anything outside their world? That it becomes a huge envelope. It's just their world. They can't see anything beyond that. What would you sort of suggest for them?
Yeah, and it's when you're at that level, it is really hard. And most people will fluctuate from that. They won't stay in that. Yes, when they have a trauma and when it's fresh, they will be at the epitome of that. But typically the way that we function, they'll rise out of that a little bit and they might start to get a little bit better, but then something else will happen and they'll go back down. Now, the the number one thing is, well, at least for me, it was being aware that it is going to be a roller coaster. There's a misconception that, life's supposed to be smooth sailing, but it's not. It's not for anyone. And knowing that you will have these natural highs and dips is really, really crucial for moving forward. And the second thing that I'd like to say is that, and not a lot of people know this, is that, so yes, genetics play a part, and some people's set happiness is lower than other people's set happiness. I'm one of those people. I don't have great genetics, and I have a lower set happiness point than majority of people, and that's why I spent 17 years in with clinical depression and 12 years with suicidal thoughts. I just wasn't able to drag myself out of all of those adversities that had happened, and then my brain had gotten used to that pattern of behavior. But when I learned that it was only 50% that was keeping me that way, this was a light bulb moment for me. The other side, the other 50%, only 10% of that is made up by the experiences that you've had. So those traumas and adversities that you've had in life, they only account for 10% of your misery. And that was really, really powerful. They've done studies on this, so they know that this is, correct. And to know that it was only 10% was a light bulb moment. It was like, all right, so that's 60%. Where's the other 40%? And the other 40%, you have direct control by your thoughts and your activities. So if we're talking about someone who's in the really dark hole, and their thoughts are going to be what's dominantly keeping them in that stuck place, because their thoughts are so dark and so negative. So the first thing would be to start changing your thoughts. You have to start changing your actions. So if you go about doing the same thing that you're doing that's keeping you stuck in that minus 10, we'll then expect to stay in that minus 10 for quite a long time. Yes, we'll have those natural flows and you might start to feel a little bit better, and then you'll start to change your activities. But the key is actually changing your activities, making yourself change the activities first rather than changing the activities after your thoughts are feeling better, which is what most people do. They'll lay in bed, they'll be really on this, and this is me myself. When I was at that dark, dark place, there were days where I didn't get out of bed and have a shower for 3 days. It was literally, I couldn't stand my own smell anymore that motivated me to have a shower. Now, if I had known what I know back then, I would have been like, right, okay, I feel miserable. And instead of just wallowing in that misery and thinking there's nothing that I can do about it and not being able to, drag myself to do anything, I would have said, right, well, to change my thoughts and to change how I'm feeling, I have to get out of bed and I have to go and do it something. And sitting here drinking, wallowing in self-pity isn't going to help me. It's going to keep me feeling this way. If I had really understood that and realized, I would have dragged myself out of bed. I would have made myself go have a shower. I would have made healthier food choices. I would have gone for a walk. I would have forced myself to maybe call a friend and ask for help rather than sitting there thinking no one cares about me because no one's rang me. No, all of these things combine to keep you stuck in that place. So if you can just take that one little step like you talked about and just, even if it's having a shower, like at that point when I was at my lowest and not showering for 2-3 days, just setting myself that goal of, right, I'm going to have a shower every single day instead of every single second day or every single third day when I'm becoming so smelly. So that's like a really small achievement, but it would have made a massive impact
on
the level that I was at that point in time.
Yeah, that is such a powerful and yet very clear sort of step that a person can take, because quite often our thoughts can be something that we can't easily change if we don't have the skills.
Yeah.
But we can all take a physical step. We can all do something like have a shower, go for a walk, do something, and just in taking that physical action sets us on a new strategy, sets us on a new pathway, I suppose you might call it. And then after a while, we do one more thing and one more thing and build up these little reference points.
On top of each other. Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that is such a powerful message. And I'm hoping that there are some people on the call today who may have heard that message and that that's going to give them the impetus to start making one small change, just one thing, and then
Exactly. Even if you just get out of bed and put some makeup on and some nice clothes for no other reason than because you feel better when you do that, or brush your hair for the gentleman, shave for the gentleman, whatever, just the smallest thing that you know you feel better doing will make a massive difference.
Yeah, that is so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sure that's a message that really needs to be heard far and wide, because it's available to any of us. It doesn't cost us any money. It's just there for us. And it's literally, I liken it to if we're down in a hole and we want someone to get down there with us to help us, they're going to wallow there too. But if we climb up out of the hole ourselves, maybe someone's up there throwing a ladder down at us and we get onto the first rung and the second rung and the third rung, we're actually, as you say, creating those new neuro pathways, and the evidence or the success reference points that we can use again. I did that then. I can do it again. I did that then. I can do it again. Very
exactly. I didn't have a chance at all by sitting in bed for 3 days, because that means I'm not going to go anywhere, because why would I go anywhere when I'm smelly? Like, that's, no one's going to want to be near me, which is going to make me feel worse. So, just getting out, having a shower, you open up the possibility of getting out of the house, even if it's just to sit in your own backyard because you can't face people. But that, sitting in your, having a shower and sitting in your backyard in the sun, you're going to feel 10 times better than being smelly, laying in bed, smoking or drinking or watching TV.
Yeah, that's great. So for those of us who aren't right down there in that most 10 place, maybe we're just a bit above zero. What's some things that we might be able to do just to increase our level of happiness each day?
I have a free program that has this in it. And basically, so if you stop, and so it's quite easy to get caught up in our hustle and bustle day-to-day lives. And we take things massively for granted. And taking the time to really stop, and instead of thinking like, I don't have this or I need more of that, stepping back and actually appreciating and acknowledging what you have so far and where you've come from so far, because there's so many people in the world that have nothing or have, so little. Like 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. And when you actually really look at the reality of that, it's really powerful to realize what you do have. So we can always be in a worse situation, and things can change at the split of a hat. The drop of a hat, in a split second. You could have a car accident and lose a limb. You could get really, really sick. People get meningococcal and then nearly die. Like, nothing is set in stone, but yet we take what we have for granted so much. And it's so easy where, that's how we are as human beings. But when you make a conscious effort to not be that way and to constantly, every single day, acknowledging what you do have, expressing gratitude for what you do have, my advice is to write down the three top things of the day and why you're grateful for them. It may just be that you had a chicken sandwich for lunch or had hot water, because there are so many people in the world who are starving, who eat, recycled chicken that they've from someone's leftover scraps that they've rewashed and recooked, and they have no hot water. They don't even have proper toilets and bathrooms. There are so many things that we take for granted. You might have a car that, you know, doesn't work all the time and it's really, really terrible to drive, but at least you have a car. You might only have a bike, but at least you have a bike. It's flipping the mindset, and instead of focusing on what you don't have, we can always swap it and focus on what we do have. It's not, oh, I don't have it. Oh, at least I have.
That's so true, isn't it, too? Because whatever we focus on, we're going to get more of it. We focus on all the negative stuff and what we don't have. We'll never have anything. We focus on what we do have. We become abundant and have that attitude, or attitude, I suppose you might call it, and it just engenders even more of that as we go along. So I love that. I remember a friend of mine who was going through depression, was pulling herself out of it. She started a gratitude journal. And each day she would try and find her top three things to write in the journal. And she said she was even at the point where she was like, okay, I'm grateful I've got a journal and I'm grateful I've got a pen.
So exactly.
Start anywhere. That's right. Start anywhere.
I've been doing that for 2 years myself. And on days where I might be having a bad day, but I can always be grateful for hot water and a bed and a roof over my head and food in my stomach. And like you said, a pen. There are people who don't have pens, who have to borrow pens from people. You know, it's about looking for the not looking at the obstacle, looking for the solution rather than the obstacle.
I love that. That's right, focusing on the solution, not the obstacle, because the obstacle will always be there.
Yeah.
Like if we put your hand in front of your face and you look at your hand, all you can see is your hand. Everything else is a blur. But if you look at everything else around behind it, your hand becomes a blur.
Exactly. And it's just about deciding for yourself that that's what you're going to do. Everyone can make that decision, and only they can make that decision for themselves. And it's literally deciding that that's what you're going to do, that you're going to start focusing on getting yourself out of that pit, and you will, as long as you make that decision and you do what has been shown to work time and time and time again for other people, you will do it. But only you
that's
can decide
wonderful.
To do that for yourself.
Yeah. So in making that decision, then, we talk about life being a choice. Someone decides that they want to get in touch with you. How do they do that?
Sure. They can. I have a email, which is Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at thehappinessninja. So that's thehappinessninja. N-I-N-J-A, it's all one word, .com.au. So you can email me on that and I will respond very quickly. And if you just want I have the free program on my website, so you can go and check that out, which is www.thehappinessninja.com.au. And that's a free 21-day program which takes you through activities to start retraining those neural pathways. And that's just available on my website. You just put your email in and it will start automatically coming to your email every day.
Oh, that's great. So that's Jamie at thehappinessninja.com.au and www.thehappinessninja.com.au, and with a 21-day free program, which is awesome. But they can just take themselves through a 21-day, activity cycle to improve their happiness?
Yeah, it's a combination of information and two activities every single day that will start that retraining the brain process. So there's written information and video information, but it's nice and short, sharp. It's not hard to understand. The videos really complement the written information, and it will take probably the average person anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes to read and complete the activities every single day. So not very long.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Now, you also run workshops, things, I believe. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yeah, so I run workshops on, it's called the PERMA principles. So it's the basic foundation of what positive psychology is all about. So it's P is for positive emotions, E is for engagement, R is for relationships, M is for meaning, and A is for accomplishments. So those five principles across the board, if you're achieving to the level that you that sits right with you in all of those five areas of life, you will be well on your way to being a flourishing human being. And so I teach the ins and outs of that, and just basically shed some more in-depth light on everything that is revolved around that.
That's great. So that's PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. That was positive, yes. What was the first word? Positive
emotions.
Emotions, and then engagement, relationship.
Yeah, relationship.
Meaning. And accomplishment.
Accomplishments, yes.
Wow, that's a lot. That's quite a package in that too. And I believe it was a man by the name of Martin Seligman, is it right, who started the whole...
Yes, Martin Seligman is the founder of the PERMA principles,
That's great. That's good. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with us in moving forward? Maybe just one thought that people can take away with them, one little gold nugget that you might like to reinforce that you've already shared with us?
Yes. So I'd like to reinforce that everything that you're feeling is part of the human existence. And everyone will feel these same feelings at some point in their life. It will just depend on, it might only be, a passing second that they feel the same way that someone feels for a longer time. And it's okay to feel that way. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing, you're not different from anyone else, which is quite often what a lot of people don't realize. They isolate themselves in their own head by thinking, oh, no one understands what I'm going through. But I can assure you that there are other people in the same situation. They may not have been through exactly the same things as you. They may have been through worse, or they may have been through not as worse. But by isolating yourself and calling yourself different or saying there's something wrong with yourself, that is going to keep you stuck. So going out and finding out about other people who've been in the same situation or a similar situation, how they have been able to rise above and change their lives, don't reinvent the wheel. Just do what other people have done. Like there's a wealth of information and examples of people who've overcome massive adversities. Like there are people who've gone from being, really, really high achieving sports people to having their limbs lost, and then they've worked themselves back up to being high achieving in being a Paralympian. Or like there's just so many examples of people who have had so many bad things happen to them, and yet they've come out the other end, and a lot of them are so much more happier than what they were before because they have a deeper understanding of not only themselves but just the world in general, and they don't take things for granted anymore.
That is a wonderful gold nugget to take away, that we are normal, where everybody feels the same way, whatever normal is to you. We're not broken. Quite often people feel they're broken, don't they? And to know that, hey, I'm just the same as everyone else. I'm going through the same sort of stuff other people are going through. And I think in knowing that other people have done that, and you can look at other people and look at their story and their journey and go, well, if they did it, I can do it. And that's one of the things that I love about the show that I'm running called Wise Women, is that we can look at other women who've done stuff with their lives. We look at people who've come from, like yourself, come from some pretty dark places, and now we've moved forward and we're making a difference, making our lives count, and really embracing all the good things that we have in ourselves, not just looking at all the negatives, but embracing the beauty and the knowledge and the experience and the joy and the happiness. And I just really want to say thank you today, Jamie, because you've shared some amazing gold nuggets with us. You've given us some steps and strategies on what we can do. You've told us about what positive psychology is all about. And maybe some of the listeners here today might even like to do their own little random acts of kindness, even if it's only just for family or friends, and make somebody else happy by just having met them and having them in their life. So, thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. And I just wanted to add one thing. Now, I said before, I'm one of these people who have the 50%, you know, bad genes, if you want to call it. And I just want to say that just means I have to work harder at maintaining my higher happiness level, which is exactly why I do what I do. Instead of, like, I didn't get myself to this point and then just go and stop everything. It's a continual thing. I have to do less than what I used to do, but I do the random acts of kindness. I write my gratitude journals. I meditate. I, you know, consciously eat as healthy as, you know, I can. I don't obsess about it, but I make healthier choices as much as possible. And it's so that I don't end up back in that bad space, because nothing changed except for the way, like, my past is still my past. I just chose to have a different viewpoint on it and to change the functionality of my thought processes. But you can't expect for that to, like, you don't just override 17 years or however many years each individual has been like that. You have to maintain it, because otherwise our brain just wants to go back to the way it used to function. Because until I've been functioning like this 17 years, then you know, I have to keep on top of it.
That's great. And knowing that you can do that and that you are keeping on top of it, that's just great message for everybody else. And so I'm going to hope that people do contact you and find out more about this, because it's just so powerful. And I'd just like to thank you again for coming on board the show today. Unfortunately, we're going to have to finish there. We're running out of time, and I've just thoroughly loved what we've talked about. We could have gone on ages. So this is Jamie, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again before too long.
Thank you, Maureen. Thanks so much for having me. I had an awesome time. And, yeah, definitely do contact me, anyone out there. I love to hear from people and to help. So please, don't hesitate to.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Bye. Okay, so that was Jamie Rose, the Happiness Ninja. And she shared some wonderful things. So with Wise Women, we are going to be having different people, similar to Jamie, coming on board every fortnight. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, and maybe you might like to be a guest, you can contact me at Maureen at Success Pathways, SUCCESPATHWAYS.com.au, and or catch up with me on Facebook, maureen.wise.14. I'd love to have a chat and talk to you. So next week we're having a guest whose name is Grace Sharon, and I'll tell you all about her later. So thank you very much, everybody, and I look forward to catching up with you for episode number 2. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.